use you people. Me, your mother's son, Chauncey.
Oh.
Here, is that our most intimate close-in resident?
Have you an appointment, sir?
Don't try those posh receptacles rubbish on me. Is the old fool in? He ought to see me.
Oh, all right. I'll find out if he's about.
Say something, Tarzan, before it's not a trap. Say something.
You're not out of here
in Tarzan, taking sprat. I'm coming into that dirty, filthy
yellow corner office
and chairing about your father's done his craggy old folk.
What's
it? What's it, Johnsy boy? Yeah, I've got a deal for you.
Good morning.
There's money in it for you. Of course. All that against you. Yeah, take a look at this stamp and keep your filthy paws off it.
Why?
Because it's a three-cornered, cape all filthy black. And in its unused, mint condition, it's worth £1,000 on the continent. That means it's worth 150 quid to you, if you can smuggle it over there.
Don't we? A latterly will get you everywhere. It's just one small snag, though.
What's that?
You see, the old Pertwee tries to take so much as a toothbrush assault anywhere, the customers pull all the bristles out to check that he hasn't got an undeclared bag hidden in the handle.
Can't you get another member of the crew to smuggle it abroad for you? In something the customs won't pull apart?
Well, like what?
Well, there must be something in the shop. Here, just so. No, it's a bit green. An aspidistra in a pot? No, if he waters it, he might ruin the stamp what's in the earth. Here, got it, the very thing, Sydney. Sydney, the ventriloquist stall. Nobody wants to pull Sydney to bits. It wouldn't be nice.
Come off it, you did it desperate. No one bought out your Mr. Outridge is fool enough, sweet enough, clot enough, gallivant enough, and mug enough to go marching down the gangway, clutching an half full clapped out ventriloquist stomach all Sydney.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans, and starring John Pertwee, Stephen Murray, and Leslie Phillips.
And of course, it was quite by chance that I heard on the grapevine that you, sir, at the Ministry of Defense, were considering appointing a welfare and entertainment officer. And I felt that I was the natural choice.
Oh, Robbie, how are you?
And I told you, sir, several times. I am Captain Foley, Defense and Secretary of Medals, and a happily married man.
Oh,
what are you talking about? Yes. Well, that takes care of the welfare side. And as far as the entertainments are concerned, I am well known and much admired for my farmyard impressions at Chick's concert. Let me give you an example, sir, because the extra pocket money would come in handy. But I shan't be the worst, my dear wife,
Roman the sheep dog is a good example, sir.
Here he is now.
Down.
No, don't go, sir, don't go. No, you haven't heard the best one. I do chickens as well.
Captain Brady, are you
right, sir? What? Oh, no, nothing. We're just calling to find out if you have anything to do.
For a moment, I thought you were rehearsing your garfish on your noise. No, I haven't. I've just been clearing up my desk. Incidentally, sir, I think this cigarette card from Birds of All Nations must be yours, sir.
No, it's not mine, but, the razor-toothed Mongolian little buffalo. Identification, study, with full black and white collar, exceptionally shy, usually hides behind blades of grass, habitat behind another little buffalo. Easily recognized by its distinctive claw.
There we go.
And opposed to the choice was thrown with the razor tooth Mongolian greater buffalo, which goes at his feet.
I've never heard a bird say that.
Sorry to interrupt, Sir Captain Perger. It's only us.
Oh, don't apologize, Mr. Phillips. At this particular moment, I'd have welcomed King Kong.
I think heaven means where the bitter to eagle. It's not much of a compliment because we don't know what the other one was.
What's that?
Great ass bastard.
Humph?
Bastard.
A bird. A bird? Oh, really? What's her Christian name?
Oh, do shut up. Now, gentlemen, as you are aware, French Hayden, or at this moment of departure, I shall refer to her as Feather.
15 years, and he's actually found out my Christian name.
Well, you didn't tell me what Miss Bustard's Christian name was. Is it Bessie Bustard, or Peggy Bustard, or Bridget Bustard?
Oh, shut up. Naturally, we are all delighted that she is Bessie Feather. He's going on this temporary course, which might lead to promotion for her. So I ask you here to join with me in wishing every success to her.
That is Feather.
Hang on, sir. That is Captain Powell. If she, that is Feather, is going, who's going to attend to your, that is, Captain Povey's third clerical?
Oh, I've got a replacement. I've got a new wren.
Wren? Oh. Miss Buston is a wren. What a fool I was. Not to realize it in the first place. She's not Miss Greater Buston, and she's Wren Greater Buston.
I shall miss you scintillating, mind-boggling conversation.
Oh, don't worry. I shall ask Britikins, I mean my lovely, adorable wife, Mrs. Murray, to write and let you know if there's any improvement in Nobby's non-existent brain box.
Oh, gosh, how kind of
And now, gentlemen, it is time for the ceremony.
The what do you
mean? The ceremony, chief. Oh. Handing over to Heather of her going away, which you all kindly contributed. And I shall explain to her, Heather, that the selection of the present was left to me. I gave it a lot of thought, and I know you will all be delighted with my choice.
I'll just put something in the thing.
Oh. I knew you would be thrilled. It's a photograph my dear wife Ramona took of me with her box party. Whilst I was nodding off in a deck chair on the beach of Gloucester. Naturally, I had it blown up.
Would have been better if they'd blown up the deck chair.
How much did you, Jack, put in there?
As a special favour, I paid the frame and made together my cover.
No doubt it. Once a craftsman, always a craftsman. Big name.
Well, don't
they please?
Well, I don't know what to say about it. I mean, well, it's the last thing I ever want. What can anyone say about something kind of unusual?
Then, chief, you can write to the other side.
Well, I can honestly say that I never shall forget this.
Got one from a blacksmith. Forty tools are one thing, but nails.
The picture. Well, anyway, thank you, everyone. I shall always cherish the photograph of Captain Povey hidden on, near my bottom, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you all very much.
Ready for the shoving in of them.
Hang on, me. Start shoving. I'll open the door.
No, wait. No, I can't do it.
No, take your hands off it. I'll come back next week.
Mr. Fletcher, are you or are you not the lovesick boy?
Wait, that's it.
Lovely one, sir.
Once then, Phillips. Mr. Phillips, are you not the lovesick gent who's been mooning about the ship and asking everybody whether or not said lovesick gent should pop the question?
Yes.
Then for Christ's sake, go in and pop it.
There's an echo. That's what?
The question!
Go and ask Lynn Barrett to marry you.
Marry her?
Well, that wasn't the question I wanted to pop at all. I'd feel much happier if one of you chaps would come in with me and ask her for me.
We don't want to take her out. You do.
Now get in there, son. It's your birthday.
Is it?
Yes.
Four of them, please. Hey, two.
Son of a gun.
What a lovely surprise. Mm. You've made my morning.
Me? What? Where? Oh, yes. I'm getting in here. It's my birthday. Yes, brother. Yes, I'm your son, and I'm going to get it. No, that can't be right. No, I was born in May, so it can't possibly be my birthday. So I'm not going to get it after all.
Oh, what a shame. But it's just as nice in May as any other time.
Nice in May. After all, things do blossom in May. Huh?
Mm. They also blossom during the other months of the year as well.
Yeah. I've never noticed that.
I have seen a lot of things you don't know, Mr. Phillips. Yeah. And I'll be more than glad to teach you any time you're free.
That's jolly kind of you, you know, but I'm not an idiot.
Oh, I couldn't mean that. There are certain interesting things that we could
work
out together.
Yes, well, here's one for starters. I mean, did you realize that if you're a blonde, there are 170,000 hairs on your head? Yes, if you've got dark hair, you've only got 140,000. No, that's a fact. It gets worse.
Oh, good. You go on.
If you're red-headed, you've only got 90,000 hairs on your head. But there's one thing still puzzling me.
What's
that? Who's the stupid clock who counts them all?
Leslie, there are far more interesting things in life than hair counting. And I know
you
one or two.
Why? Do you know that an elephant goes round and round? 18 times before it sits down.
Leslie, I was talking about you and I.
No, I didn't need all day for that.
Would we?
Rather, because the first time we visit the zoo, our elephant might not want to sit down.
It's as good as on its way to the Continental Coast, that is.
Well, where's the
stand
now?
That's stuck inside Sydney's little wooden box. Mr. Phillips, you never know it's there.
Well, that's fair enough. Never knows where anything is,
including
himself. How did you manage to persuade
Blondie
to take
Sydney
on holiday?
Easy. He's too love shy to ask the new rent for a date, so I persuaded him that with a bit of practice, he could get Sydney to ask her.
Well,
you
might get the family and be proud of you. At least they would if I told them. Unfortunately, I can't, because I'd have to tell them about the
stabbing
in
Sydney's
box. Then they'd all want their cut.
Well, Captain Hercules is the Ministry of Defence. He's got to know.
Why?
Why, because he's the one who's got to slightly rearrange Your Majesty's Navy sailing orders so that Trappridge goes to France instead of Matey.
Oh, so this is Sydney. Hello, Sydney. Jolly nice to speak to you. Yes, I'm sure we're going to be great pals.
No, you're not, sir. No, you're going to be great friends.
Why? Because Sydney can't say you are going to be great pals back to you when you got your mouth shut.
What is it? I tell you, sir.
Hello, Leslie Kip. You and I are going to be great pals.
I'm sure I can do better than that.
Take care.
You're absolutely right. Sidney and I will have to be great friends. And another thing that I have noticed is that Sidney can only say,
I'm a great cow, a Leslie Kirk.
You'll have to tag your line as well. Oh, that's all right. I was thinking of calling myself the amazing lesbian Sidney anyway. Now, how much do I owe you for adopting Sidney?
Well, it's a bit of not to you to suggest a new relationship. But it's comrades in arms and loyal shipmates. Mutually serving a flag over the years.
Two men who share the perils of the deep side by side in fair weather. Or in town. Two hearts of oak who shared shells, socks, and souls and shambles. Goes against the grain of a purple waggle over paltry finance for the likes of business. Gosh, you mean I can have Sidney for nothing?
Certainly not. You cost me a fiver and I don't do terms.
Now then, let me introduce you to Sidney's working part. Do you think that's absolutely necessary? It's vital, see. You can't work Sidney if you don't know where to shove your hand in him. And which bit of him to wiggle about.
I don't think I feel very well.
Now, don't worry, sir. Sidney's used to it now. You see this hole in his back? Yummy, he's broken. He says, no, that hole is included in the tie. That's where you're supposed to stick your hand in.
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, a chap, even if he is made of wood, is entitled to a little protection.
No, you don't understand, sir. If you don't put your hand in there, you won't be able to grab to this mechanical.
Oh, nasty.
But don't punish us. Sidney feels very little pain.
Now, have a little try.
Hey, Mr. Wally, pop your hand in his back.
Nice.
Good, good. And grab the pole.
Then you can swivel his head. And just to one side, you'll find a little lever. Open some sacks with this cable.
Oh.
Oh, you mean this one?
Ah! What's the matter now? Oh, ah! I put my hand to his nose. Oh, his tongue works.
But we've got to give him time to get to know you. He's not normally the aggressive type.
I'm sure so. I hope not. Otherwise, he's going straight back to the orphanage.
But calm down, calm down. Now, imagine I am the Wren lady in question. Just chatting away at the chit-chat typewriter. Now, if you locate the nearest chair, you shove your right foot on it, and sit Sidney on your knee. Then, after that, look, it's got to be a bit of a making a difference. Then, after that, we Sidney safely on your knee. You get him, as your other self, to ask her out of the picture. Well, there's a good one on this week at the Portsmouth Bee Gees.
Suppose
Mr. Bill Sidney. I said, my head! Well, it may not matter to you, but Sidney could end up bored to death for the entire evening.
I'll forget it, Mr. Phillips. Look, now you find a chair for your legs, and Sidney's on your knees.
Now I'm waiting for you to ask me out for the picture. Good?
Yes, sir.
Well, you want me to do it for you then?
Oh, all right.
Well, here, follow me.
Right.
Right, here we go then.
Then.
How do you go?
How do you go?
I'm Sub-Lieutenant Skellick.
I'm Sub-Lieutenant Skellick.
Turn your gun out and a picture at the Odeon.
When?
On Friday evening.
I'd love to.
Oh. Well, let's say that's the end of lesson one. That is a guarantee, child. All you have to do is to fill it in and send it back to Ebenezer Perkins' water at the podium and you'll be fully covered.
Shouldn't you simply fill it in? I mean, after all, it's guaranteeing him, not me.
No,
General Potter Jenkins here.
Go away.
I'm in a planning meeting with Bunsen Wallace and can't fit a staff. Tell the fool the Minister of Defence has left the country and I've gone with him.
Can't interfere in business, Wallace.
No, let's see. It seems to me we're never in the sort of evolution.
No, we're not. It's all your fault. This is the bit that's wrong. You put it in.
Well, is it?
Only because you broke the lumpy bit off a cloud. So you could get what you thought was a flying saucer in that empty bit of sky. Always the same when you do jigsaw puzzles, you always cheat.
I see. There was a brilliant ponder who went to give Snow White to the seventh dwarf, more blind than there was a piece of grunted boot missing. But then I found it wedged firmly on the top of Snow White's head.
I see. way she wore a hat.
Never, never. If she ever did, it never looked like an upside-down stuffy boat. No, get on with it. Every brass plate on the deck where Nelson died can't be right.
Why not?
Well, you should know, man. Nelson's there with that side died in half his arm. And you put a brass plate down, said he said over here.
Oh, right, then it's your too, Bloody Clever. You tell me why the makers of this paddle put in a bit with a brass plate on it if they didn't want it put on the deck of this ship.
They didn't put it in this puzzle at all. What are you
talking
about? That bit with a brass plate on it is the one that was missing from the flying Scots having its crew stated that I couldn't put his brass plate.
I disagree.
All right, then, but then you explain to me how Nelson's victory could have had a brass plate on the deck Grace Western Railway.
Well, at least I don't cram cannonballs in an empty bit of sky and pretend they're flying saucers.
I'm excited not to apply to gentlemen. I need your signature of approval for this old lady's big failure, which was Commander Hercules Custer.
What's it about?
He sent me to the country to fight instead of H.M.S. Neptune.
Well, fair enough. Hercules says it's all right.
Oh, we shall have now. I still can't understand, Chief, how it came about that we'd ended in Canada instead of
him. Don't tamper with the afternoon, sir. E.G. Whitehall. That's not the reason why. That's back to the booze up at the common market price.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, Chief. I'm not too certain about letting Mr. Phillips get ashore.
Why not, sir?
To show him the place.
Let him do it. He needs all of them to the full practice he can get. Prince said he's got to persuade Ren Barrett to go out with him. He needs the practice.
I mean, who knows? Scott and the tailor, the you know, lies, might just do the trick.
Yeah, sure, but I have an awful feeling that Ren Barrett will prefer to go out with Sydney and not with Mr. Phillips.
I don't know how to tell you. It's been the most terrible accident.
Well, it's a part of a chap overboard.
What? Land boat! Follow the chap overboard!
It's too late! Too late, Lampard! Too late! He's halfway back to England by now. The little chap floated off that way.
Floated?
Yes. I don't know how you're going to take it, but Sydney, he's lost at sea.
Back.
It was so sudden. We were standing by the rail when he turned his little wooden head towards me. He said, look at me when I'm talking to you. What the heck is that?
And you showed him.
I had to. I held him over the side. Then he wanted a closer look at a passing French Dover sole. And that's when it happened.
Lost,
one can only hope it was the way Sydney would like to have gone.
You dropped it. That's the easy. You dropped it.
It's all right, Sydney. Chief, it's all right. I can always get another little Sydney.
Commander!
Luckily, before we sailed, I remembered to post the guarantee card back to Nunchy.
That's all I needed,
Eddie. If I know Monkey and his guarantees, that was a waste of a stamp.
Oh, I was lucky there. I ran out of stamps. But fortunately, I found an unused one stuck in Sydney's head. I put that on the card.
No! What a
time! It was a very odd stamp. It only had the three corners. Didn't have a queen's head on it. But it didn't seem to have been used. I only hope the post office will accept it and thank it properly and deliver it to Lungie. I mean, it'd be awful if my guarantee was invalidated.